Job chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. Please pray this prayer after me. Lord, open my eyes to see your truth. Open my ears to hear your truth. Open my mind to receive your truth. Open my heart to keep your truth. Let me be a doer of your word, not a hearer only. Let me bring forth the much fruit to the praise and glory of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak, Lord. I will listen and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read this verse 1, one more time. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. We need to have this, these qualities that God looks for. We really want to be someone who becomes a delight in the eyes of God, valuable to God. We have to understand we need to have these qualities inside here. Verse 1, where it says the man was blameless, underline that, blameless. He was upright, underline that. One who feared God and shunned evil. So, if you really want to please God, we need to have these qualities. One is, we need to live a holy life, a life without any speck. A speckless, spotless life is possible. Job lived such a life by walking with God. We too can live such a life by walking with God. So, as we walk with God, the holiness of God comes into us. As we walk with God, we receive the power of God. We receive the strength of God to live a life that is pleasing to God. So Job was a man who feared God. And when someone fears God, you'll see two things happening there. One is they will love what God loves, and they will not like or they will hate what God hates. They will hate injustice. They will hate oppression. They will hate wickedness. Whatever God doesn't like, we won't like also. You know why? Because our nature becomes like the nature of God. It's not something you artificially force yourself to do, but it's a byproduct of us walking with God. Understand this. When we walk with God, the byproduct of us walking with God will be loving what God loves and hating what God hates. Jesus said in John 15, I'm the vine, you are the branches. When a branch abides in the vine, it draws the strength from the vine, and then the strength from the vine flows into the branches, and whatever is in the vine actually causes the branch to produce fruit. The branch is not producing anything independently, but it takes whatever is there from the vine and it produces. And Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And Jesus is talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. And you see that he's talking about the fruit bearing nature of a branch. So when we look at the fruitfulness that Christ expects, because fruit bearing is not an option. Oh, you want to bear fruit? You bear fruit. You don't want to bear fruit? You don't have to. And then somebody can say that, I just don't want to do anything. I just want to sit in the corner, come to church and just sit in the corner and get up and go. God is not calling us to come and warm up seats and go home. No. God wants every single person to be useful in the kingdom of God. So being fruitful to God is something that is expected. It is expected by God. It is expected from each and every believer. Just like how a baby is born, a baby is expected to grow, walk, talk, and go to school, you know, go to college, or, you know, go to trade school or whatever, but get a job and, you know, have a family and have children. These are normal things, you know, that happens. That a little boy never stays a little boy. One day he becomes a dad. A little girl doesn't stay as a little girl. One day, you know, she grows into you know, a mother or a grandma, you know, whatever role that they are meant to be, they grow into that. That growth is very important. Similarly, in a spiritual birth, what Jesus calls being born again, being born into the family of God, we are born and there's a new birth that takes place, and it's a baby that is born in the kingdom of God. That baby is expected to grow into everything that God wants us to be. And the Bible says, into a perfect man, into the measure, the fullness, the stature of Jesus Christ. I'm simply stating scripture. These are not my own words. That is God's goal for a believer, every believer. Every believer, every believer is called to become something big in the kingdom of God. Write that down. Every believer is called to accomplish something big in the kingdom of God. Whatever God has called us to do is very important. Something important God wants you to do. Very important. If we don't recognize that, you know what? God has called me with a purpose. God has called me with a call. It's not position or title. It is a calling that comes from God. It is a calling that comes from God. If you look at, you know, mom and dad is not a title for a mom. You know, if it's a title for a mom, then wherever the mom goes, you'll have, mother, you know, something in front of her name, and father something. No. That's who they are to their children. Their children call them mom. Why? It's out of love and it's out of honor, you know, that they give to a parent figure, you know, in the family. You know, you don't go and call, hey, Harry, hey, Susie, you know, to your mom. You know, there are some dysfunctional homes where kids call their parents, you know, by first name. But in a home that recognizes importance, that value, that this is my mother, this is my father, and you don't call them by their first name, you call them as mommy or mom, daddy or dad, or papa or mama or whatever. There is, in every culture, the honor that you give to parents, and God says in his word, honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. So those things are very, very, you know, important, and God has placed it in his word. There's a reason why we do certain things a certain way. Not just in one culture, in every culture it is a norm. If you look at every culture, whether it's the Indian culture, whether it's the African culture, whether it's the Chinese culture, you know, whether it's the, you know, Hebrew culture, whether it's every culture honors the mother and the father. It's very important. That honoring God, honoring the parents that, you know, God has placed in our lives is a blessing for us. We have to understand it's a blessing that God has given to us. When you look at God's word, Job was a man who knew how to be a man who was perfect in the sight of God. So you can understand that Job was a perfect man in the sight of God, blameless. That means he was a blameless husband, a blameless father. And wherever he was a blameless man. Nobody could come and say, hey, you didn't just do your job properly. He was not just a duty conscious man. He was really a man who loved God, and God's nature went into him. And I want to speak about this for a few minutes as the Holy Spirit wants me to. Christianity is not performance based, understand. Your walk with God is not a performance-based walk with God, but it is a walk that is a genuine walk that God will grade you on that. Understand that. It is not a performance-based. That means it's not that we are coming here and just performing and, you know, rate my performance. No. According to your genuineness, or how genuine you are in your walk with God, how far you really love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And if you're going after God for who God is, or simply out of obligation you're doing it, God sees that. The eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro looking to see whose hearts are loyal towards him. And when he sees that, he does something with them. He says, there, you know, I found a jewel. There, I found a treasure. That's what God will see when he sees loyal hearts. And he takes them and he says, I can use them. You don't have to have talents. You don't have to have beauty. You don't have to have money. You don't have to have position. You don't have to have power. You don't have to have anything. If you have a loyal heart, you're a good candidate for God. God will take that and he will add everything to it. You know, if beauty is needed, he'll give beauty. Position is needed, he'll put you in the position. You know, whatever is needed, if money is needed, he'll give you that whatever is needed in order to accomplish his will. He will give it to you. So what is needed? Write this down if you're taking notes. A loyal heart is needed. For every believer in Christ Jesus, a loyal heart is needed. Job was a man who had a faithful heart. Abraham was a man who had a faithful heart. Daniel was a man who had a faithful heart. Joseph was a man who had a faithful heart. Apostle Paul was a man who had a faithful heart. When you look at them, these people had a faithful heart. You look at Prophet Samuel, he had a faithful heart. If you look at Moses, the prophet, he had a faithful heart. If you look at Joshua, had a faithful heart. If you look at Elisha the prophet, they had faithful hearts. They were all very faithful to God. Now you look at their lives turned out to be a great blessing in the kingdom of God, not only to their generation, but to many generations, including our generation. We all read the Bible and we learn how they lived for God and how God used them. It is important. See, they are dead. Though they are dead, they still speak. God is looking for people just like them in our generation to see whose heart will be loyal towards me. And as I was praying, the Holy Spirit was bringing to me right before, you know, I started giving the word, that the heart of Jesus Christ is still crying out. He's still seeing so many people who are not saved. There are many rebellious people, but you know what? There are many people who are genuinely seeking for Jesus, but they don't know because no one has told them. There are many people who are oppressed by the enemy. They're not able to get out. But you know what? The church doesn't have the anointing of God. The church has for a long time has been sleeping, indulging in everything that the world is indulging in. So it has no power. So the church sends the people to go to a psychiatrist, you know, go to, you know, a therapist, go here, go there. Because the church is not able to give the deliverance. But God is looking for people who will be able to bring deliverance. Imagine, Naaman had leprosy and Elisha didn't have the anointing for it. Imagine what would have happened. He would have never came to God. That's why healing ministry is so vital. It is so vital when it comes to spreading the gospel. It is so vital in saving the souls. Elisha said, send him to me, let him know that there's a prophet in Israel. Thereby, he came to know the God of the prophet. It's so important. It is so important. It is so important. If Elisha would have said, I can sit down. I'm going to talk to you about the God of the Hebrews. And he would have given him a big lecture on what idolatry is and you know, what Ten Commandments is and, you know, all the other, you know, ceremonial laws. And he could have just given a big lecture. And he would have said, by the way, you know, who's your famous doctor? You know, go there. Oh, you know, we have a famous Hebrew doctor over here. Go. No. All who came to Jesus, they were healed. All who came to the prophets of God in the Bible, they were not turned to go over there, go over here. They were not turned to, you know, go to the secular, you know, field here, there, here. But they were all healed. Now, when Naaman went into that water and he came out because the anointing of God was released when Elisha spoke the word, Naaman believed and he did it. He got healed. When he came out, everybody knew that his leprosy was gone. There was no doubt about it. That's how healing is. When genuine healing takes place, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. It's very important. And he said that this is the God I'm going to worship. As a result of that, he had faith in God. And there are people who get healed and delivered and then take that and run away and do their own thing and get a curse as a result. I want to tell this very important thing at this hour because the Holy Spirit wants me to. Naaman got healed from leprosy. And Naaman went back to Israel as a man who came in contact with the prophet of God and thereby came in contact with the God of the prophet of God. His leprosy was gone. But now you see, Gehazi was there with Elisha all the time. Naaman, how many times did he come to Elisha? How many times? One time. It was a one-time contact with the man of God who had the anointing of God. He realized that. He took that. He obeyed that. And he went home healed. Gehazi was there with Elisha day and night. Now, Gehazi would have had a home. You know, we see he took his stuff and he put it in his house and he came back. So Gehazi, you know, would have gone. He would have had a family because the curse, when it came for Gehazi, it went over his household and the entire generation. So he obviously had a home. He went there and he came, but he was primarily with Elisha. He was Elisha's servant. Gehazi knew more about the power of God, the healing ministry, and the prophetic work of Elisha the prophet more than Naaman himself. Guess who got blessed and who got cursed? Naaman got blessed. Gehazi got cursed. Just because someone is staying with the prophet doesn't mean that they are automatically going to go to heaven. Just because someone knows the prophet doesn't mean that they really know the prophet. You really can't fully know. When delusion comes in, what happened to Gehazi will happen. Familiarity is a very dangerous thing, especially when it comes to the anointing of God and the servants of God. That's what happened. The children of Israel saw the pillar of cloud every day. They saw the pillar of fire every day. They saw manna every day. They became very presumptuous. It became a daily thing and they started complaining about the manna. That was angels' food they were receiving. They complained in Egypt. They got beaten in Egypt. And God heard them and he brought them out because they cried. Now they came over here and they're complaining here too. But you know what the difference is? This is to God Almighty they're dying. Familiarity is a dangerous thing, understand. It's a very dangerous thing. They did not realize that Moses had the anointing of God. That's why Miriam, who was older to Moses, who said, I'm a prophet too. I see dreams and visions too. What is Moses thinking? Aaron, who was older than Moses, joined with Miriam because they both thought they were older. And they said, you know what? Who does Moses think he is? Just because, you know, Moses did some signs and wonders, he thinks he's bigger than me. We see some things too. God is using us too. And they were struck with leprosy. God came and he spoke for Moses and God said, I speak to the prophets through dreams and visions, but with my servant Moses, I speak to him face to face like a man would talk to a friend. There's a difference. You have to understand. Even among the prophets, there's a difference. There are not too many prophets there, but even among the prophets, there's a huge difference. There are all the sons of the prophets and the prophets that were there. When Elisha was there, Elijah was there. Many prophets were killed. Some prophets were taken and hidden there by Obadiah, the king's servant who feared God. However, there's one prophet, Elijah, who was the prophet of all prophets there. No one could touch him. No one needed to hide him. He was a man who went into the palace and came out of the palace, stopped the rain, brought the rain. There's a huge difference. There's a huge difference. There's a huge difference. Many, many, many people did ministry. Many got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 120 got in the upper room. But you see, Peter got up and Peter preached. 3,000 people got saved in one day. A lot of people got saved during the time, and Apostle Paul got saved too. But you see, Apostle Paul was unlike any other. He was Apostle Paul. All the disciples were there. Out of the 12 disciples, you see, John the Apostle got the book of Revelation. There's a difference, there's a distinction, understand. Not only in heaven, over here. Right here, the distinction in the anointing is very, very, very important. We have to understand. And the Bible says, as the difference between the stars, the glory of the stars, the glory of a believer and servants of God vary depending on their closeness with God, how close they walk with God. Very important. That's why the anointing of God is very, very, very important. And our familiarity becomes a danger, we have to understand, when we overstep that boundary. We have to be very careful. No matter what it is, when it comes to servants of God and the anointing of God, we have to be very careful. That line has to be drawn. That line has to be drawn. We have to understand that line has to be drawn. Because of the anointing of God, the Spirit of God is there all the time. And whatever we speak and how we treat the servants of God, because of the anointing of God is involved, we have to be very, very, very careful. This is something that we have to teach our church. You might have not learned anywhere else. We need to learn here. Whether it's Moses, whether it's Elisha, God showed up there. Gehazi was so close. Every day he was there. He thought he can talk to Elisha like that. What do you think? You think that I was not here? I was here all this time. What are you talking about? Who did he lie to? He lied to a prophet. And what happened as a result? Curse from God came upon him. You and your entire generation, not third and fourth generation, forever was the curse, that your generation will inherit leprosy forever. That means cast out of the people of God, cast outside of the people of God forever. How dreadful is that? How could Elisha say something like that? Think about that. Is it too harsh? No, it's not. You know why? Because this is a man of God that he played with. There's the anointing of God that he played with. It's the prophet of God. He went to a prophet of God who he saw day and night. And he lied to him. He thought to make him look like a fool. When even the people in the king's palace knew that, what happens in the inner chamber of the king, Elisha knew, they knew that. How did this man become so dumb and so foolish that he became so bold in his heart to go and say such a sarcastic thing, such a foolish lie to the prophet of God? How did he do that? How did he do that? Think about that. When he received the word, it was too late. You know why? He was very bold in going and saying that. I didn't do anything. Meanwhile, he took everything. He used his name, brought all those things, went to his house, put everything, and came back. And the man of God said, did not my heart go with you when you went there? How come he didn't know? He knew, but you know what? This is what you call delusion. When delusion sets in, they think that I can lie, I can do whatever, they were not going to know. We have to be very careful. Very, very, very careful. That's what happened to Gehazi. So, being in a church for so long means nothing if we don't have the regard for God, regard for the servants of God, if we don't know how to behave, if we don't know how to take the word of God seriously, if we don't know how to honor God, if we don't know how to honor his word, if we don't know how to honor the presence of God, if we don't know how to honor the servants of God, it means nothing in the presence of God, because God takes all those very seriously. The Bible says those who honor the prophet in the name of a prophet will reward a prophet's reward, will receive a prophet's reward. Jesus said that. The things that God takes very, very, very seriously. A prophet does not receive honor where? In his home, in his hometown, among his own people. There's such a thing that God gives honor to his prophets, his servants. And God takes notice of that. Jesus was despised in his own hometown, by his own people, in his own family. You know why? They became too familiar. There's a danger in becoming too familiar with the servants of God. There's a danger in becoming too familiar with those who have the anointing of God. We have to be very careful. That line has to be drawn. We have to understand that that line has to be drawn. We have to be very, very, very careful. May God help us to know the difference and have that seriousness when it comes to the anointing of God. Ananias and Sapphira went and lied to Peter. And Peter didn't say, why did you lie to me? No, he said, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? You know why? It was directly the anointing of God that was on Peter. They were dealing with the Spirit of God. We have to be very careful when we come to the house of God. When we are in the presence of God. When we are before the servants of God, even a casual conversation, be very careful. If you want to be blessed and your generation to be blessed, be very careful how you deal with the presence of God, the reverence that needs to go to God, and reverence that needs to go to the true servants of God, especially when the anointing God rests on them. This is for your own blessing. I have to teach this. May God open your eyes of understanding to understand that and have a deeper regard for who God is. And what his word is. And what he's teaching us at this hour. So we can grow in the blessing of God. Job was this man who knew God but never overstepped his boundary. He never overstepped his boundary when it came to his walk with God, his relationship with God. He was someone who had that reverence for God, reverence for the presence of God. He loved God. He loved what God loved. And he hated what God hated. And that's what truthfulness is. God looks for the truth in the inward parts of our being. The man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 5,000 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. Now, this is before, if you look at Job's life, Job was way before, you know, any of the commandments was given by God. However, you see the principle of God operating here. Deuteronomy 28 is operating in him even before Deuteronomy 28 was given to Job. Because God operates by who he is. So the blessing that was given by God comes from who he is. Write it down. Deuteronomy 28, the blessings of God is given to God's people based on who he is. The curses that come from God is based on who he is, his righteousness and his justice. Write it down. The blessings of God comes as a result of his righteousness, those who keep his righteousness. And the curses of God come as a result of his justice to those who violate his righteousness. We need to know this. It's very important. Now, Job was a man in the Old Testament who was a pure man, a holy man, an upright man. It's not that automatically all of a sudden he became someone who had no feelings and who can't see anything. And all of a sudden he became like invisible to his surroundings and that he was no longer a human being. No. Jesus was a human being too. He was tempted on every level, yet without sin. Job was a human being too. Because of his walk with God, Job was a blameless man. And we see how he was blameless. He feared God and he made sure that he offered sacrifices. He feared God and he made sure he made a covenant with God. He made a covenant with his eyes that he will not look at another woman inappropriately. He did what he had to do in order to keep himself. So how did Job become a blameless man? Write this down. Job took precautionary measures in order to keep himself pure. Don't just say, Lord, make me holy, make me holy, make me holy, and not do your part. Your part is very important. Holiness comes from God by you becoming proactive and believing that it comes from God and taking the measures that you need to take in order to keep yourself holy. Very important. So what did Job do? Job did whatever he had to do in order to be blameless, be holy, be pure. And the result is God certified. It's not somebody writing. This is God Almighty certifying about Job that he's a blameless man. He's an upright man. He's a man who fears God, and he's a man who shuns evil. If you really fear God, you won't have anything to do with evil. If someone says, oh, I fear God, I know what the fear of the Lord is, and continue in their sin, then they are liars. That's the truth. If you really fear God, you will fear God and love what he loves and hate what he hates. That means you're not going to have anything to do with evil. God is speaking to our hearts today. God is doing a work of sanctification in the lives of God's people. Not to make you feel discouraged, but really to encourage you and to let you know what? You can do something about your situation. You've been wondering, how come nobody told me that I can do something about my situation? That's why in one message, the Holy Spirit spoke. For too long, the church has been told that you are not capable of doing anything good. And they were lied to by the devil through a lot of the clergy out there. So the people thought they can't do anything for me. Miserable me. I have to suffer sinning and sinning and sinning, making poor choices and binding myself with the rope of uncleanness and evil because of the choices that I make. May God have mercy. But the truth comes to break those chains. Truth comes to break those chains. How? He washes his people clean and he says, go do your part. I want to say the Good Samaritan story that Jesus said. We all know that. If you don't know that, read it from the scripture. There was this man who was traveling, from Jerusalem, to Jericho. And he was beaten by thieves and he was left to die. When he was left to die over there, a priest passed by and he says, I gotta go. A Levite passed by, I can't go near him, he's unclean, he goes away. And then a good Samaritan, a Samaritan comes, he's called the Good Samaritan because he did good. The Samaritan comes and he sees, and though he had other things to do, and though he will get unclean by touching him, though, things are going to work out differently that day, he chose to show mercy. And he did that which is right before God. He took him, put him on his donkey. He, wiped his wounds and he applied oil and wine on it and he did all that. And then he put him on the donkey. Then he took him to the inn. Then he paid whatever he needed. He said, when I come back, I'm going to give you even more, whatever you need to. He took responsibility for that man. Now, if the man would have gotten a little better and he would have ran out of the house, Good Samaritan wouldn't have been able to do anything. The innkeeper wouldn't have been able to do anything. That's the difference. God brings us to the inn, but some people will get up and run. Some people will stay and get well. The choice is ours. The choice is ours. Whether we're going to enter into eternal life or whether we're going to choose eternal death is our choice, not someone else's choice. It's not even God's choice. God has chosen us before the foundation of the world. He wants no one to perish, period. But then in him, we have a choice to make. So the man was taken to the inn and he was laid there for him to be treated. And he stayed there. And at the end of the chapter, Jesus would tell the man who came and asked him this question, who is my neighbor? When Jesus said, go love your neighbor, Jesus would say the simple statement. He would say, go and do likewise. When the man said, oh, this man, Samaritan, is a neighbor, go And do likewise. The man who helped, the man who is in need. So you go and do likewise. That's exactly God says to his people. Once he takes a person and he washes them with his blood, he tells them, you go and do what you're supposed to do. If you have to make a covenant with your eyes, if you have to do whatever you need to do in order to clean up your house, clean up your heart, clean up whatever you need to clean up in order to keep yourself pure, do it. Job did it. Because Job fulfilled his part while walking with God, he was able to live a pure life. It's not just simply putting worship music on and worshiping God and then after done with worship and go and watch something bad. No. You walk with God and then you do what you are supposed to do. You worship God. If you're really worshiping God, then holiness will flow through you. Out of that, you're going to make serious life changes. Very important. Why Job became an upright man? Because he was a man who walked with God. How Job became a man who was blameless? Because he did his part. He walked with God, and as a result of walking with God, there's a change that is taking place, and he's going along with the change that is taking place in his heart, that I gotta do this. I cannot live like this. So, understand this. Job was not a man who was born pure. Understand. Job was not a man who was born like Jesus. Jesus was the only man who had no sin, who was born sinless. Job was a man who had the sin nature in him that came from Adam after Adam's fall. God didn't make Adam a sinner, but when Adam fell, the sin nature from Adam from the fall transferred to the rest of the generation. Job was born a sinner. The sin nature was there. God made man upright, but man chose his way. Job was born with a sin nature. But at some point, he decided, I'm going to do the right thing. At some point in his life, he said, I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes. He had problems with it. But he said, I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes. I'm going to make a covenant with my eyes. I'm never going to do this ever again. An upright man. He would have done many, many things to keep himself pure. But there are specific things written in the Word of God so that you and I can know how to live. Don't give silly excuses. It will not stand before God. Don't say, my dad did, my mom did, my grandma did, my grandpa did. You can blame the whole world, but when you stand before God, it's going to be you and God, not your grandma, your grandpa, your mom, or your dad. You will be held accountable for your actions. We need to grow up and become responsible and hold ourselves responsible for our own sin. Hold yourselves responsible for your own sin. Because God will hold you responsible for your own sins. If you don't judge yourself today, then you'll be judged later. But if you judge yourself today and get yourself right before God and get your sins forgiven and do what you have to do with your eyes, with your thought life, with your heart, with what you're watching, with what you're hearing, with what you're talking, with who you're talking, with who you're texting, then you won't be put to shame. But if you don't do it now, then everything will become something that will come out in the open. Job was a blameless man. I'm going to finish in a few minutes. But understand this. He was a blameless, upright man because he walked with God. He did that which was good. And he did not turn to evil. And then, he not only kept himself, he was a responsible father. As a father, let's read verse 4 and 5. Before that, understand verse 3 talks about how God lifted him up. He made him the head, not just, you know, one of the rich men. No, there's no one like Job. God lifted him up, just as his promise says, above all the nations of the earth. In the East, no one was like Job. In his wealth, in his nature, there was no one like Job. In his wealth, there was no one like Job. If you put God first and he becomes your priority, God will make sure that he'll put you first in every area of your life. Because your motive will be pure. Your heart will be pure. Your ambition will be pure. Now, it won't be a snare if you go to the top. It'll only be a blessing. If you're not pure, if your motive is not pure, God is not going to put you there for you to get destroyed. Because any type of blessing can become a snare if you are not walking with God. But if you're walking with God, then he will really take you to the top because he knows that you won't abuse it. He knows you'll be faithful to God. So verse 4 says, and his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. It doesn't say that Job's children cursed God or anything. No, it doesn't say that they did anything wrong. If you actually look at the people that the sons invited, if you look at it, they didn't invite anybody outside or, you know, ungodly people. No, they called their own sisters there. That's how they party. They called their own family. They called their own sisters and, you know, they had a feast. But even in that, he was a man of God who didn't want to offend God even a tiny bit. He said, I'm going to be so careful. I'm going to be so careful. What if? So he was so careful even with his children. No wonder God blessed him like that. You see? A man who took God very seriously. Who took the things of God very seriously. Who took his family very seriously. He was not a man who had nothing to do. He was a great businessman. The Bible says he had a large household. He had a lot of responsibilities at the same time. He was a man who knew how to take care of his children. He was a man who knew how to lead them in the ways of God. God is speaking to your hearts today. Never say, I have too much to do, so I'm slacking off on my responsibility when it comes to spiritual things. God won't bless you. Put the things of God first. Put God first. No matter what you have, understand, God must come first all the time. If you really want to become like Job, you can. If you really want to become like Job, you need to do what you have to do. You know what areas you're weak in. Whatever you have to do to put a guard there, whatever you have to do in order to bring your body into subjection, you know, whatever you have to do in order to straighten yourself, you do it. You can do it. If Job can do it, you can do it. Job was not relying on his own strength. Job was someone who walked with God. So his strength came from God. He was able to make that covenant and keep that covenant. Walk with God. You will have that inner strength to be able to do that which is right. When the enemy comes, you will have the strength to resist the enemy. When the enemy comes, you'll have the strength to overcome the enemy. When the enemy comes, you're not going to fall, but you will have the power to overpower the powers of darkness. God is very faithful. God is very true. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. All those things, who does it? We do it. Casting down, pulling down, all the stuff, who does it? We do it. Don't put all the responsibility on God and say, oh, God has to do it. God gives you the strength. He gives power to the faint. He increases might, but then who does the fighting? We need to do the fighting. God is speaking to our hearts. As Job made a covenant with his eyes, whatever you have to do in order to protect your soul, you do that. As Job made sure he watched over his children, made sure he watched over the spiritual welfare of his children. Make sure that you're responsible with your children, with the lives of your children. Make sure you watch over them. Make sure they're walking in the ways of the Lord. Make sure that you cover them, you pray for them. May God continue to grow you in the ways of the Lord. This is the very blessed month. God blessed Job. God put him in a place of honor. Honor is something that has been granted by God for God's people. He crowns us with glory and honor. Honor is something that is given by God for his people. God has promised us this year and beginning of June. From June to the end of this year, God said, honor will come looking for God's people. To whom? To the people who live like Job. If you honor me, I will honor you, said God. The honor that comes from God will not be like the flaky, fluffy stuff that comes from man. He will lift you up today and then he'll push you down tomorrow harder than how he lifted you up. But God, when he honors it steady, no one can touch that. And that honor will never bring pride to God's people because he only honors those who are humble. So there's no room for pride. The honor that comes from God is what we should look for. Please God in everything. Let him evaluate you. Never be familiar, too familiar. When I say too familiar, in a negative way, where I say, I know God. I know the presence of God. I know the pastor. I know them. You know, to be very careful. Very careful. Very careful. Always remember what happened to Gehazi. Always remember what happened to Miriam and Aaron. They thought they were related to Moses. Oh, I'm his brother, my older brother, my older sister. Miriam, I was the one who actually saw him when he was in the water. And I was the one who went and told the princess and brought, you know, my mother there. And I'm a, you know, prophetess too. What happened? She was struck by God with leprosy when she opened her mouth against Moses, the servant of God. It's a very big distinction between Moses and Miriam. Huge difference in the anointing of God. Big difference between Aaron and Moses. We have to understand our place in the kingdom of God. For our own protection, We need to know, when I come to the presence of God, I need to have the reverence for God. The reverence for the presence of God. This is not like any church that we walk in. This is not like any worship that we enter in. These are not like any pastors that we talk to. We need to have that anointing of God that is upon the servants of God and the reverence that needs to be there for our own protection, for the protection of our own generation. We need to have that. Lord, help me to be aware of that. We're living in the New Testament Acts like period in our church. The things that God is doing is very, very, very deep and very dramatic and very powerful. And we are accountable to God for that anointing of God. We are accountable to God for what God is doing. We have to understand, God, I should never become like Gehazi. I should never become like Miriam. I should never become like Aaron. Never come and say, oh, you know what, Moses, you're younger than me. I know more than you. Oh, you're younger than me. You know, we know what we're doing too. All those mentality has to be wiped away because those stand against God. Because the anointing of God rests on Moses. That outweighs everything. God, his word, his anointing are inseparable. We have to understand that. In the West, most people don't know. They don't understand. They don't know the difference. The same disease is traveling to the East too because not too many people with the anointing of God are there anymore. But we have to learn from the word of God. When the Lord teaches our church, brings his word to our church in order to make us understand, we're going to take that to heart and to say, Lord, I didn't know that before. Now I know. I'm going to be careful. I didn't know that before. I'm going to be careful now. I'm not going to take the word of God, the presence of God, the works of God, the anointing of God for granted. I'm not going to be like Gehazi. I'm not going to go and say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Gehazi got into delusion. Forever he was cast away from the presence of God, from the people of God, him and his entire generation. Keep that always in front of you. Always. until Moses prayed for Miriam, Miriam's leprosy was not healed. When Miriam opened her mouth and spoke against Moses in a presumptuous way. Miriam was struck with leprosy by God himself. When the sickness came after that, until she repented, and then Moses cried out to God, God said, I'm not removing that leprosy out of her. Bodily affliction. We have to be very careful what we speak against God's servants, against the anointing of God. We have to be very careful, very careful. What we talk in our room, in our bedroom, in our chambers, the Holy Spirit will hear. That's what happened with Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. Miriam and Aaron, they both gossiped and they talked. God showed up. God showed up. So be very careful. These are the things that the Holy Spirit is speaking. As always, I didn't read these. I didn't prepare these. As I was praying before giving the word, the Lord told me to speak from Job 1. That's all the Lord spoke. And God has been speaking to us word for word. And we've heard the voice of God. And we're hearing the voice of God right now speaking to us word for word. Take it very seriously. And tell yourself, Lord, I want to live like Job. I really want to be a person who has true fear of God. Not just that I fear the Lord, I have the fear of God. But really, on every level, I need to have the fear of God upon my life. And God will do great and mighty things in your life. Just as how he blessed Job, God will bless you. See, the highest blessing, even more than him being the richest man in all of the East, the highest blessing is for God to give a certificate about Job before the whole heavens, before Satan, to say that this man is my man. This man is my man. A man who's perfect in my sight. A man who's upright before me. A man who loves what I love and hates what I hate. A man who's after, truly, truly after my heart. He looked at the devil and he said, this is my man. Have you seen a man like Job? Have you considered him? God was so happy about Job, he actually talked to the devil about him. That's the highest honor. For God to take our names in his mouth and say, have you seen a person like that? May God stir up your appetite. May God stir up your hearts. May God stir up your spiritual hunger towards becoming like Job, this Old Testament saint of God, who made a covenant with his eyes, who made sure that his children will worship him, made sure that they will not sin, made sure that he will sacrifice on their behalf, make sure that he will take care of his household. May God bless us tonight as God has brought us into the fourth day, I believe, of fasting and prayer. May God help us to take everything that God has spoken to us and say, Lord, I want to be someone who will make use of every word that you've spoken, Lord. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lord, I will not squander a single word that you have spoken. I want to be someone who will take everything like Joseph did. Gather everything, because a great drought, famine is coming. A great period of famine is coming. What God is giving now is for us to gather and put it inside and practice it. Put it inside and practice it. When they all gathered, whatever they had to gather during the first 7 years, they all ate plenty. It's not like they all stored and they were all starving and they were all storing and starving. No, they all ate good and they stored. They all ate good and they stored. Eat your food that God is giving. Eat your food that God is giving and store it in your heart. Eat it, store it, grow in it, store it. God will make you a distributor of the word of God as he sees fit when you're faithful in what God is giving you. Shall we close our eyes and look to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 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 Just take some time in the presence of God tonight and tell the Lord, Lord, look into my heart. Wherever you are, tell the Lord, look into my heart, Jesus. To Jesus. See if there's any wicked way in me. See if there's any hypocrisy. See if there's anything that is bringing you displeasure, Lord. Show me, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Search me, O God. Know my thoughts. Try me, O Lord. Tell the Lord, this is the time. Ask the Lord to search your soul, search your heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Worship you, worship you, worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever the Spirit of the Lord is showing you at this hour, ask the Lord to cleanse you and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm truly repenting. I'm turning away from those sins and I'm turning towards you. Thank you, Lord. Make sure you write it down somewhere and check yourself from time to time. Make sure you don't do it again. That's what true repentance is. Thank you, Father. To fulfill your precious word, every promise I have heard, God is moving one more time on the earth. God is moving one more time. God is moving one more time. God is moving one more time on the earth. To fulfill your precious word, every promise I have heard, God is moving one more time on the earth. To fulfill your precious word, every promise I have heard, God is moving one more time on the earth. God is moving one more time. God is moving one more time. God is moving one more time on the earth. To fulfill your precious word, every promise I have heard, God is moving one more time on the earth. God is moving one more time. God is moving one more time. God is moving one more time on the earth. To fulfill his precious word, every promise I have heard, God is moving one more time on the earth. Move in me, O precious Lord. Move in me, O precious Lord. Move in me, O precious Lord, one more time. To fulfill your precious word, every promise I have heard, move in me, O precious Lord, one more time. Tell the Lord, Lord, move in me, O precious Lord, move in me, O precious Lord, move in me, O precious Lord, one more time. To fulfill your precious word, every promise I have heard, move in me, O precious Lord, one more time. Tell the Lord one more time, Lord, move in me, O precious Lord, move in me, O precious Lord, move in me, O precious Lord, one more time. Tell the Lord one more time, Lord, move in me, Lord, one more time, to fulfill your precious word, every promise I have heard. Move in me, oh precious Lord, one more time, to fulfill your precious word, every promise I have heard. Move in me, oh precious Lord, one more time, to fulfill your precious word, every promise I have heard. Move in me, oh precious Lord, one more time. Tell the Lord one more time, move in me, oh precious Lord. Move in me, oh precious Lord. Move in me, oh precious Lord, one more time, to fulfill your precious word, every promise I have heard, every promise I have heard. Move in me, oh precious Lord, one more time. We're going to sing it one more time. Sing with all your heart. Tell the Lord, Lord, move in me, oh precious Lord. Move in me, oh precious Lord. Move in me, oh precious Lord, one more time, to fulfill your precious word, every promise I have heard. Move in me, oh precious Lord, one more time, to fulfill your precious word, every promise I have heard. Move in me, oh precious Lord, one more time. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts at this hour. Oh, we thank you. How precious is your word. Oh, how I love your law, for it is my meditation all the day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Fill your people, Lord, more and more and more with the knowledge of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let the people of God be filled with the knowledge of God. Lord, you're teaching them more and more on what true reverence is. How to truly have reverence for you, for your presence, for the anointing of God. Oh, I pray that you will bless your people more so that they may bring to you a pleasing sacrifice. Their spirit, souls, bodies, and minds, oh Lord, become pleasing to you. Hallelujah. No other sacrifice will please the King. I offer up my life as a pleasing sacrifice. Hallelujah. A pleasing sacrifice to the Most High King. Hallelujah. Oh, I pray that your people, Lord, may truly, truly, truly have a life that is honoring to you. That they may be blameless before you, Jesus, in their words, in their attitude, in their mannerisms. That the Lord may be pleased with their lives, O Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. No good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. No good thing. No good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. Thank you, Father. I pray that you'll bless your people this night. Help them to know more of your truth. Help them to know more of what true reverence is. Lord, help them to know more of what true love for God is. How to be blameless before you. How to walk in integrity and uprightness before you. Continue to teach them, Lord. Help them to do what they should do before you. Oh, to see the areas that they are lagging behind. To truly take measures to correct the situation. To do what they must do, as Job did. He made a covenant with his eyes. Father, I pray, help your people to live a holy life, a blameless life, a spotless life, a life that will honor you, a life that will bring blessing upon their lives. May they never take the presence of God lightly. May they never do what Miriam and Aaron did to Moses. May they never do what Gehazi did with Elisha. I pray. May they have the true reverence for God, for the presence of God, for the anointing of God, for the servants of God. May they receive the blessing, how new believers like Naaman came and received the blessing and went. Never be like Gehazi, who was there, but ended up receiving curse. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll cover them all with your precious blood. Let not the enemy touch a single soul, Lord, in our church. In the name of Jesus, cover each one with your precious blood. May they, Lord, grow up upright before you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Cover each one with your precious blood. Cover each one with your precious blood. Cover each one with your precious blood. Let no one murmur or complain in their hearts, oh Lord, I pray. May each one be grateful to the Lord, our God, for the manna that you're giving. For all the glorious ways in which you're leading your people, Lord. Fill each one with a grateful heart. Thank you, Father. Lord, thank you for giving us this freedom that you've given us in this nation to worship you together. Oh Lord, to glorify you. Father, I pray that you'll bless this nation, Lord. As your servant, oh Lord, I pray this day that you'll bless this nation, oh Lord. That you'll give us more freedom in the days to come. Lord, that the revival that you've begun, as you promised, will spread like wildfire. People may know the ways of God once more. They may know the holiness of God once more. May they know the love of God once more. May they know the righteousness of God once more. They know who God is, the way he is, that no one may perish, oh God. Lord, I pray that you continue to cause the eyes of your people to open, that people may know that you are the God and there's no one beside you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do tomorrow in our midst, oh God, and we praise you. Thank you for giving us, Lord, your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We bow before you. We bow before you. And we bow before you. And you alone, oh Father. Alone. You alone. You alone. You alone. You alone. You alone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you for giving us the privilege to worship you, to call you Abba, Father, for making us your own, Father. We thank you. Continue to do great and mighty things in our midst. We love you. We honor you. We cherish you. We treasure you. We worship you. For this I ask in Jesus' name. And we commit, Lord, the rest of this night into your hands. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you'll bless, Lord, the rest of the night for your people. And I pray whoever has, Lord, body pain, headache, whatever, Lord, symptom that they may have, tiredness, Lord, soreness, Lord, in their bodies, tenderness, Lord, in their muscles. I come against every physical affliction in Jesus' name. And I release your healing virtue into the homes of your people right now in Jesus' name. And I ask you, Spirit of the living God, that you'll touch them in Jesus' name. Every form of pain may disappear right now under the blood of Jesus. In the blood of Jesus, let it dissolve right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May a king get all the glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Above everything, I pray that you'll prepare us to meet you. If we have to face you tonight, I pray, may we face you with great joy. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and bless us with his peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God the Father and the sweet fellowship of his Holy Spirit rest and remain with us all now and until we see Jesus face to face. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.